I appreciate the worship team sharing with us. I just assume they're not share their napkins or their Kleenexes. I'll get my own. Thank you. Amen. Amazing presence of God. You know how you can tell when the presence of God is here? It's not because of the goosebump or something like that. It's when you want to hug everybody, right? When that love just sort of overtakes you and you just want to, man, and that's the feeling I feel today. I wish I could just, and you know that, know me, know that's not normal for me, but I'd love to hug everyone. Amen. I trust that you had a wonderful Christmas and a great New Year. New Year does mean something to us, right? It's like a new beginning, but you know, truthfully, every day is like that, right? God gives you a new day, and we are, according to Scripture, we are to rejoice in that new day and dedicate that day to Him. So I'm not going to be talking about resolutions or things like that, but I do feel like the Lord gave me a passage of Scripture to share with you today. And I've been teaching through Philippians, but we're not there today. I'm going to Deuteronomy chapter 30, and I titled this, "The Blessing Is Not Far Off, But Near." The blessing is not far off, but near. Have you ever felt like you just kept going around the same track constantly? Like I just keep, like I never get past this one thing. I just keep going. And sometimes it's because you keep failing the same test and you got to pass that test to go on. And so I pray that this year you pass the test and you don't go around that mountain anymore. And so let's move on from that. As we're going to read the scripture, and then we'll pray. And Brother David Matthew is sick this morning, so we want to pray for him. Brother Arthur Lodge has went back into the hospital. He's at Vanderbilt this morning, so let's pray for him. Let's believe God for a miracle for him. He definitely needs it. He needs a touch of God. Pray for Mary too, because they're one. And so the pain that he goes through, she feels too. Yes, and Johnny Brown is here. I know some of you are thinking, rats. No, good to have Johnny and Cindy back with us. He has really come through quite a little sickness that really took hold of him. And so we're very thankful that our brother is back. So, amen. Look to Deuteronomy chapter 30. I'm going to read the first 14 verses. I want you to get that title, though. The blessing is not far off, but near. Now, those are not my words. Those are his words. Those are God's words, okay? "Now it shall come to pass when all these things come upon you, and the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, you'll call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you. You'll return to the Lord your God and obey his voice according to all that I have commanded you today, you and your children, with all your heart and with all your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. If any of you are driven out to the furthest parts under heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you." Wow. You know, it just occurred to me, you'll never get so far away from God that he doesn't know where you're at. Wow. Is that not a promise from God? You know, somebody here may think, "I'm just so far away from God right now." I promise you, God knows exactly where you're at, and he's calling you by name. "Then the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. He'll prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, that you may live. Also, the Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies and those who hate you and persecute you, and you will again obey the voice of the Lord and do His commandments, which I command you today. The Lord your God will make you abound in all the work of His hand, in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, in the produce of your land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good, as He rejoiced over your fathers, if you obey the voice of the Lord your God, to keep His commandments, His statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if you'll turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. For this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It's not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear and do it? But the word is very near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart that you may do it. Father God, we just come before you today, thankful for the presence of the Holy Spirit in this place. Father, we give the Spirit of the Lord liberty today to move among us, to touch our hearts, to challenge us with your word. Father, I pray, God, that 2023 is going to be an exciting, great year for us, Lord. 2022 has been challenging. And Lord, we just pray, God, that we would see your hand, Lord, more than ever before, that we would see the victorious Father move in 2023. Father, I pray, Lord, let this word saturate our hearts today. Speak from heaven and let us hear and obey. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. Let's pray one more. Father, we pray today as a family. We ask, God, that you touch David Matthews. Lord, that you touch Arthur and Mary. God, those that are dealing with serious, serious sickness, Ron Nelson and Deb. God, we ask, Lord, that in 2023, they would see the salvation of God. They would see the healing in their body and see your hand move upon them. Father, I thank you, Lord. We are believing believers. We believe in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you noticed in your lifetime that some Christians seem to do well and other Christians just seem to struggle? And you know, isn't it easy to put that blame on God? Well, God, why are you so good to this one and this one seems like they get left out in the cold all the time? Can I just say, it's not God. It's not God. It's us. How well are you applying the Word of God today to your life? Are you living in the blessing of the Lord? Now, okay, we got to put some groundwork here, because in this life we are taught that the blessing of God means I have no trouble, that my bank account is overflowing, and that I'm driving a new car. Oh, that just makes me sick. That is not the blessing of God. The blessing of God is so much more than money, right? You know, first and foremost, it's the peace of God. It's the fact that you can go to bed at night and lay your head on the pillow and know that if I do not wake, it doesn't matter. I'm going to be in a better place. It's the peace of God that knows no matter where your children are at or what your children are doing, God sees them, God knows them, and God will protect them. Hallelujah. I lost some of my amens on that. You know, as your kids age, they don't do everything that you want them to do. They don't do what you want them to do when they're 2, and they don't do what you want them to do when they're 32. They got their own minds, and that's okay. We just keep them covered in prayer. Amen? So this is Moses talking to the children of Israel, and he is getting ready. He knows that he is leaving this earth, right? that his days are very short. And so this is his last encouragement to the children of Israel. Hey, listen to God and obey him. I mean, that's as simple as it gets, right? Hey, you know, at one point God says, I'm putting life and death in front of you, but it's your choice. You know, that sounds so simple, but do you realize how often we choose death? Every time you choose your will instead of God's will, you're choosing death. Right? Every time you order that double cheeseburger, no, I'm saying, I ain't preaching to me today, I'm preaching to you. We're all in the process of salvation. Do you know that? You know, we speak salvation like I am saved. And I like that because that's faith. But the truth of the matter is, we're on a journey. We're on this journey, on this continuum, where we are walking our salvation out because God is transforming us. He's changing our thoughts. Because Isaiah said it the best. He said, God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So what does God do? He says, let me get in that little brain of yours. And he gets in that head of yours and he begins, and boy, it's just so slow, isn't it? He just, you know, if he worked fast, we would all give up. But he doesn't. God is so patient with us. God just takes it. Yeah, I've been saved since I was 7 years old. 61 years old. You do the math. But sometimes God still deals with me on things that I just almost get frustrated with. And I think, you could have dealt with me when I was 14 on that. Why'd you wait for 50 years? And you know, the answer is, you couldn't handle it when you were 14. But now you've got to the place of maturity where we can fine-tune some things. You know, I always love it when people come to me. I'm not saying this so that you come to me and do this, but when people come to me and say, I feel like maybe I offended you, I said something, I didn't mean it that way, and I'm like, wow, no, I didn't even take it that way. I wasn't offended at all. But do you know what it shows me? They're fine-tuning. You get it? God is fine-tuning their words. Do you realize how important your words are? We're going to get to this. I'm jumping ahead of myself. But God is fine-tuning the way you talk. I just got to get to this. I'm going to cover it twice. He says, the word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. You know, we've read that other places. That's Romans. It's Romans chapter 10, verse 8. It's our salvation things where Paul repeats this. When I come across that, I thought, oh dear God, Paul went all the way back to Moses when he is teaching us this. Is there anything new under the sun? No. Isn't that amazing? The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Right? It's all God's book about Him. I want to clean into this. So I wanted to read verses 11 through 14 out of the NLT to you. And I believe Jonathan has that, so you can just look at it. He says, this command I'm giving to you today is not too difficult for you. It's not beyond your reach. Have you ever thought that before? Like, God, you're just asking for too much. No, no, he's not. You can do it. You know why? Because the Spirit of God is in you to help you do it. Okay, it's not beyond your reach. It is not kept in heaven so distant that you must ask, who will go to heaven, bring it down for me so we can hear and obey it. It is not kept beyond the sea so far away that you must ask, who will cross the sea to bring it to us so we can hear it and obey. No, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart. so that you can obey it. Here's what I feel like the Lord is saying. You're so close. You're so close. We're close to seeing victories like we ain't never seen victories before. I believe 2023 is a year of victory. I really do. There's five promises God makes through Moses to his people. Number one, he said, I'll bring you into the promised land. They're right on the verge. Man, they can see it, but they're not in it yet. I'm going to bring you into the promised land. You know, to me, some people think heaven's our promised land. I don't believe that. I believe salvation is our promised land. I believe God says, I'm going to bring you into the promised land of God. Where John 10:10 says, Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it to the fullest. That's a promise. That's not about heaven. That's about right here, right now. Don't you want that? Everything you touch turns to life, not gold. Thank you, I will. Number two, he says he'll prosper you and multiply you. And prosperity is so much more, like I said, than money. Man, if you buy into that lie, you shortchange yourself. Does that make sense? I mean, is that part of it? Yeah, that's part of it. God cares about your money. God cares about your needs. God cares about those things. And God's not stingy. You know, some people think that God don't want me to have good things. Why not? He has good things. I thought that might get a better amen, but I mean, I'll just preach to me, okay? God's got good things. God's going to multiply you. I pray that doesn't mean more children. I had a dream the other day that I had triplets. I thought, oh dear God. I thought, I'm going to be 92 before they're out of my house. God, you got to give me long life if you give me triplets. Oh, that was a nightmare, I'm telling you. Number three, this is really important. Number three, he says he'll circumcise your heart. That's we don't use that term. We don't talk like that. But this is important. See, circumcision is the cutting away of the flesh. Man, when I read that, I said, Jesus, circumcise my heart. Cut away everything. So, your heart and your mind, the Bible sort of connects them, right? Your soul. Cut away everything fleshly that's in my mind. Lord, I don't even want to think the way I used to think. I don't want to think about garbage. I don't want to think about that. But I don't want to think about defeating thoughts either. Right? I don't want to think about failure. I want to see the goodness of God every day of my life. Right? Even in my trials. Cut away, God. You have my permission. Number four. I like this. He says, he will cause you and your descendants. Now, every daddy and every mama in this place ought to grab hold of this promise. Because he didn't just say, I'll cause you. He said, I'll cause your descendants. Anybody got some descendants out there that you'd like to see? I'll cause you and your descendants to love the Lord with all your heart and soul. Any of you got some wayward children? This is a promise. You can sink your teeth into this one. Number five, he will cause you to abound in your work, the work of your hand. You know, another thing that I dislike about the prosperity doctrine, it's like, go to your mailbox and expect a check. And that ain't biblical. The Bible says he will bless this, the work of your hands. If you're too lazy to work, God may withhold the check. Ooh, that mean, Pastor. Get to work. God will bless you in your job, in your parenting. God will bless whatever you put your hand to. How do we get there? The very first thing he says is it is obtainable. Okay? That's what you need to realize. Walking in the promise and the blessing of God is obtainable. He will allow you to move into it. He says, the word is near you. It's in your heart and your mouth. So a lot of us have the word in our heart. But I have found that from my mouth to my heart is a whole lot further than 10 inches. Right? It is difficult to get it from your heart into your mouth. You can tell that faith is taking hold in your life when your words start changing. Have you ever been talking to someone and maybe for the first time you didn't give them your opinion, you spoke the word to them? Well, God said this. Well, the word says this. But that's what he wants. And he doesn't just want it for you talking to your neighbor. He wants it when you're looking in the mirror. And instead of criticizing what God has created, you look at it and you say, man, God's done something wonderful in you. He's put all kinds of talents in. You get me? You speak the thoughts of God. You take the word of God that you read and all of a sudden you put your name in it. The word of God is near you. You got it in your heart. Now let's get it in our mouth. John chapter 15 verse 7 said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you'll ask what you will and it'll be done. You get that? See, when we get saved, everybody knows that Jesus comes and lives inside of us. It's actually the Spirit of God. The Spirit of Jesus comes and lives in your spirit. That's one, and that happens almost immediately. But the second part of that, takes time. It's a process. He abides in me, but does his word abide in me? Am I speaking his word? Or am I speaking my thoughts? You see, my thoughts oftentimes are self-defeating. They're not worth 2 cents, truthfully. But God's thoughts are life. And so when I begin to speak his thoughts, it's powerful. We must choose life and blessing in every choice we make. Life is all about your decisions. Right? Life is one big decision. And so I just encourage you, start choosing life. Start speaking life, but start choosing life. Every decision that you make. Now I threw something in here that wasn't actually in this passage, but I just thought, you know, first of the year I got to throw this verse in. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things to be added. Number three, seek first. You know what amazed me? This is a revelation I got this year. He doesn't say seek first Jesus. He says, seek first the kingdom. I'm God's kid. I'm God's ambassador. Let me say it this way. I'm God's man. So it's not my way or the highway. It's God's way or the highway. Amen. So the choices that I make are not just to prosper me. It's not just, you know, one of the hardest things in marriages is me dying and making decisions that's going to be for her benefit. Not physically. I mean, you get what I'm saying? I prefer my wife. The decisions I make, if I love her the way Christ loves her, the decisions I make are for her benefit, even if they're a detriment to me. So if I'm seeking first the kingdom, I'm thinking, how is this going to affect Christ? What's this going to do for the kingdom? You know, it changes the way you spend your money. It changes the way you talk. It changes the way you love. It changes everything about us if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The right way of doing things. Righteousness. That's just a free nugget. I'm going to charge you for the rest of it. Number four, listen and obey God's voice. Folks, Moses was talking to a people that didn't have what you have. You've got the Spirit of God in you. You know, truthfully, you don't need a preacher, but thank you, by the way. You got something so much better than a preacher. You got the Spirit of God. You know how you grieve the Spirit of God? You know, Ephesians tells you not to grieve the Spirit of God, right? How do you grieve the Spirit of God? By saying no. By ignoring Him. You know one thing, husbands, you know what makes your wife madder than anything? Lots of things. Ignoring her. Don't listen. You know, she knows you're within hearing distance and you're just not listening. You ever think that God may get frustrated with us sometimes? Don't make me come down there. Man, the blessing. See, God never asks you to do anything that won't be a blessing to you and others. God only wants good for you. When you get that in your heart so deeply, you'll trust Him. So then God speaks to your heart and He says, you need to do this. And instead of saying, get thee behind me, Satan, you'll say, God, I think that was you. And He'll say, it was me. Then you do it and you find the blessing. Listen for the voice of God. You say, I can just hear some of you saying, Eric, I just don't hear God's voice. That's not true. I promise you, it's not true. Based on the Word of God, He says, my sheep hear my voice. Settle that. Settle that. Don't ever say I don't hear Him anymore. Because if you are born again, if you're one of His, let me say it this way. I've got to come down there for this. It's not your responsibility. It's His responsibility. Because He made the promise. He said, my sheep will hear my voice. Now He has got to speak to you in some way that you're going to hear it. Here's what I have found in my walk with God. Once God finally gets your attention and you realize it was God, you do that by analyzing yesterday. Well, I think God told me that. Yeah, He sure did. And then once you identify that, look for that, because God will do it reoccurringly. Does that make sense? He's fine. It's just like your wife, husbands. When she finally gets a way to talk to you that you understand, she'll use that over and over and over. It just makes sense, right? God wants you to hear Him. When I first got saved, I thought this was like a cat and mouse game. Every time you get close to the will of God, it'd be like that cat knocking it out of the way, you know? Come and chase me a little bit more, you know? It's not that way at all. God wants you to hear His voice. God wants you to know and be intimate with Him. More than you want it, God wants it. He says in the book of James, I yearn intensely. You get that? I yearn intensely for you. Paul said, I don't think we understand the depth and the length and the breadth of the love of God. How much He loves us. One of the ways that we hear God's voice, by and large, is through the Word. I have challenged you, since I've been your pastor, to read your Word. I want to make a new challenge for you today. I want you to memorize one verse a week. Okay? Now, that's difficult for some of us. So, I think that I will try my best to put a verse on Facebook every week for our church so that we can sort of work on them together and challenge each other. And so if you have a verse that you're like, Eric, I really think the Lord wants us to memorize this verse, give it to me. I won't listen, but give. No. I want to read one more portion of Scripture to you because I love to blend Old Testament and New Testament together. So in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, we call this the lettuce, the solid mixture, you could. In verse 19 through 25, the writer of Hebrews, we really don't know who the writer of Hebrews is. For years, people thought it was probably Paul because he wrote so much of the New Testament, but it really is not really his style of writing. So most people believe now it was somebody different. But it's a wonderful, wonderful book. So chapter 10 of the book of Hebrews, verse 19 through 25, he says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a full assurance." Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Isn't that glorious? Have you ever thought about that? What if God removed all the evil thoughts out of your mind? What if God removed that part that always accuses you? That's an evil conscience, right? That's ours. And our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promises faithful. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So there's five things that I want to talk about to you real quick. The first thing is, we have an opportunity that they didn't have when Moses was talking to them. When Moses was speaking to the people, one man, one time a year, got to go into the holy place, to the most holy place. One man, one time a year, for the whole nation. It's a privilege that you and I have every day of our life. And that's through the veil. See, when Jesus was on the cross, God reached down to that veil that separated the holy place. He reached down, he tore it. Bible says it was ripped from the top to the bottom, and it was a thick old curtain. It wasn't like the curtains you have in your living room. I mean, it was probably, I don't know, maybe a foot thick. God reached down, just ripped it open so that the presence of God was not contained in a room anymore. The presence of God now is open so that you and I, through the body of Christ, he is that veil. Now we have the ability to come into his presence. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 16 says, "Let us now come boldly." Boldly. Not sheepishly. Not like sinners, but like sons. Let us come boldly into the throne of grace. I love that God calls his throne a throne of favor. Let us come boldly into the throne of grace, where we'll make our petitions made known, where we'll find grace and mercy in our time of need. That's what he just said right there. We have an opportunity because of the price that Jesus paid that we can enter into this presence. You know, if you're living for Sundays, you're missing it. You know, if you say, "I love Sundays because I feel his presence," guys, I'm telling you, get it on Monday. Get it on Tuesday. Get it every day of your life. Walk into the presence of God. It's a privilege that the old saints didn't have. We've got. And how often we probably don't use it. It's like a gift laying on the table from Christmas that you just, "I'm not even going to open that." Well, it's a check of $1 million. You might want to open it. I gave it to you. No. Number two, he says, draw near with a true heart, which means complete sincerity of purpose. You don't have to come into the presence of God seeing yourself as a sinner. Seeing yourself as something lowly. Because Jesus said in 2 Corinthians, right after she read that verse in 5:17, that we're new creatures in Christ, he goes on down to verse 21. And he says that Jesus took our sin and he gave us his righteousness. So then now when God looks on me, he doesn't see my sin because he removed that. He now sees the righteousness of God, not my righteousness, because my righteousness is not good. But he sees God's righteousness. Jesus' righteousness is now on me. So I can go to the throne with a clear conscience. I'm going to blow your mind. Even right after I sin. Even right after Treve and I get in a fight. There's only one little thing I have to do. Is say, Treve, you need to repent. No. It's just to say, Jesus, forgive me. And you know what you do? Just the righteous man falls 7 times, but just keeps getting back up. Get up. Isn't that a word from God?
Yes.
Get up.
Yes.
Quit laying down. Don't you let that depression overtake you. That's not from God. Right? I've had enough of it. When David Kelly died, I think it shook all of our world. In about 2 months, Sue comes up to me. We're sitting at a fellowship. And she said, I'm done. I'm done with it. David wouldn't want me going through my life like this. He'd want me to go on with life and be happy and do right. And I said, you're exactly right. You get what she was saying? I'm done with the Molly Grubs. I'm casting it off. I'm going on with Christ. He is my Redeemer. He's my Victor. He's my Triumph. When we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Now, when you continue in sin, that's a different story. Right? God doesn't want you to continue in sin. But when you sin, you have an advocate. Number three, he says, hold fast the confession. Confession is homologios. Logos is word. Homo means the same. Hold fast the same word. See, when Jesus comes back, he said there's a sword coming out of his mouth. Isn't that a weird picture? Well, that sword is the word of God. And that same sword that's coming out of the mouth of God needs to be coming out of your mouth. He said, hold fast this confession of your faith. Speak the same word that Jesus speaks over. You're a victor. You're not a victim. Boy, that's for somebody. Go on. If you, bless his heart. I don't know who that is, but I put him to sleep. He says, hold fast the confession of hope. Do you know what faith is? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Right? Faith and hope, it's hard to separate. He said, hold fast this hope. Hold fast your faith. Hold fast the goodness of God. When you speak negativity, you're speaking the devil's language. Our words ought to be powerful and positive. Now, I'm not one of these, you know, name and claim it, but I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of truth in that. There's truth in that. It may be overdone, but there's truth in your words. It doesn't happen immediately. It happens over a lifetime of speaking the word. Does that make sense? You've got, but until you get to practicing this and doing it, you got to put it into practice. Number four, he said, consider one another in order to stir up love and works. In other words, every one of us need to be a cheerleader. Every one of us need to be cheering on our brother and sister in Christ. Right? Consider one another. Cheer them up. You know, Carla fell this week. She's hurting. You know, it might be good if you just went by her and said, I'll be praying for you this week. I'm going to pray that, you know, Keith, they thought Keith had a stroke this week. She calls us when we're headed to Cincinnati. And I mean, you were worried. You were very, very concerned. He fell. He hit his head. A lot of things. He's going to keep him in the hospital. We prayed against a stroke in the car. I remember when it came out of my mouth thinking, what are you saying? You know, Lord, I just pray he doesn't have, this is not a stroke. This is not a heart attack. It was dehydration. Man, when she wrote that, I thought, yes, Lord, hallelujah. Man, that was exciting to me. Let's stir each other up. Let's, you know what that means? Let's kindle the fire in each other. You know how you kindle a fire? You blow on it, blow some oxygen. You know, encouragement is like oxygen to your soul. We need to, don't come blow on me, but you know, go with me just a little bit. Don't be too literal on that. But let's blow on the coals of each other's hearts, right? I know somebody's going to come back to me and it's okay. Just take a mint first. The fifth thing he says, and the only reason I bring this out is because there's a teaching going around the body of Christ now. The church is not important. In the New Testament, they met every day. Daily, they met together. And he said, don't forsake the assembling of yourself together. Church is far more important than what you can imagine. Especially when we do it right. When we start coming together and encouraging each other and praying for each other and loving each other and exchanging the word. Man, we leave like Schwarzenegger, right? Oh, I've been pumped up. That's a bat. Okay. James 4 said, draw near to God. He will draw near to you. It's a promise. But guess who has to make the first step? Actually, he did. He died on the cross for you. But the next step is you. You draw near, and I promise you, God's right there for you. He's waiting with arms open to welcome you in. All right, stand with me if you would. Sorry. Or if you're word. I think we should just pray together today. Is that okay? If we just all pray to like challenge ourselves. How many want a new year? A different new year, right? You want to walk in the victory this year? You know what insanity is, right? Just doing the same thing over and over and expecting something different. If you want something new and something different, you got to do something different. I really think I heard from God. I really believe God was saying, you're so close. And I believe the key is speak the word. I think we have it in our heart. It's got to start coming out of our mouth. Can we just pray together? Can we just start with a repentance? Jesus, boy, I sure love you and I know you love us. Lord, we repent, Lord, that we have allowed other things to get before you. Maybe we haven't been mindful of you or the power of your word. And Father, it's very possible, Lord, that we've just done wrong. We've just done some bad things. And Lord, we just come before you because you're the loving Father. You never kick us out. You always invite us in. And we just ask you, Lord Jesus, forgive us of our sin. Forgive us of messing up. And Father, renew this salvation that's in us. God, I pray today for these people that are here under the sound of my voice, because I believe with all my heart I have spoke the words that you have given me. And I believe that word is a word of encouragement, that you want us to draw near, that you want us to begin to allow this word to come out of us. So God, I pray, Lord, that you would enable us, give us the strength and the ability, whether that's intelligence or the ability to memorize, God. Lord, some of us may believe, Lord, that we've lost that ability, but Lord, if we've lost it, you can restore it to us. So God, I pray, Lord, restore the ability to memorize your word, and then make us make it applicable to where we begin to speak it every day of our life. God, I pray that 2023 would be the most exciting year that we've ever lived. God, I pray that we would see the hand of God move miraculously. God, may we see the small details that you are doing and the large picture also. God, I know that you are looking for a people that will be faithful. And I believe, Lord, that these people today say yes to the Holy Spirit. Use me. Use me, Holy Spirit. I am listening to you and I'm listening for your command. God, I speak a blessing over this body. In the precious name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Denny's not here, so just raise your hand. Receive God's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Now go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless you, folks.